Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We love getting to share these stories with you and highly recommend checking out episode one so you can hear about the history and the vision and the purpose of Story Night. And if you've been with us a while, you already know our stories vary. We've got ladies from all different ages and backgrounds and women with stories that are very lighthearted and women with stories that are very heavy and everything in between. My guest for this episode is Robin, and I'm so excited for you to hear where her story started and where she is now. I think it's a very inspirational story. Thank you, Robin, for being willing to share it. And we're going to hear about what you're doing now with your spa and all of that. But first, would you just introduce yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. Thank you. My name is Robin Kosh. I have been married to my husband, David, for 25 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Just last Monday was our anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. We have two adult children named Claire and Dylan, and then I have a six-year-old grandson named Felix, who is my entire life and my entire heart. I adore him. And then, as you said, I am the CEO and founder of Glow Spa here in McMinnville, and that's been just an amazing journey.
Yeah. Well, normally I say this at the end of the podcast, but I'm going to mention it now because of your connection to our upcoming live Story Night. So, ladies, if you are new to this whole Story Night outreach, in addition to this podcast, we host four live events per year, one in winter, spring, summer, and fall. And our next Story Night event is coming up around the corner on Thursday, July 31st at Domaine Willamette Winery. Now, this one happens to already be sold out. It went so fast. We have all 230 tickets spoken for to come see Caitlin Sticca share her story. She's a two-time breast cancer survivor who is an incredible mentor in our community and the founder of a nonprofit called With Courage. Now, I mention all of this for two reasons. One, if you don't have a ticket yet, please email me at storynighthope@gmail.com to get your name on the wait list. Now that it's so close, we are starting to get a few ladies who have some schedule conflicts, some last minute vacations that got planned, and so some tickets are starting to free up. We would love to get you one, but we would need to get your name on the wait list. And I also mention this because our very generous Robin here has donated a prize from Glow Spa for one of the ladies at our upcoming Story Night. So we love getting to offer prizes and just bless women with fun things. So that's super exciting. And we want to find out how you got to be the CEO and founder of Glow Spa, but we're going to start at the very beginning. So Robin, will you tell us where you were born and what your childhood was like?
Absolutely. I was born and raised down in Southern Oregon. I grew up kind of bopping between Medford, Ashland, Jacksonville, Klamath Falls. My parents divorced when I was five, and foreshadowing to where my future lies, my mom used her alimony money to put herself through college. She'd never wanted to be dependent on a man again. So I was five and my brother was 10, and she went on and got her bachelor's degree and has since gotten her master's degree. And Yeah, it's kind of amazing. So yeah, I grew up there with my mom and in school. I graduated high school a year early. I wasn't overly smart or anything. Later in college, I figured out maybe I actually do have some intelligence and a brain, but didn't think so in high school, but I knew how to work hard. And that was what eventually got me through. I ended up going to beauty school straight out of high school when I was just 17 years old. And while I was in beauty school, I had my daughter with my high school sweetheart who was emotionally and verbally abusive. And when she was just 6 weeks old, I finally got the courage to break up with him and recognize that as horrible as it was that I was willing to stay in the abuse for myself, there was no way I was going to allow my daughter to be in that kind of a situation. And I all the better for it, I think. Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of courage.
It did actually. It's, I don't think of it that way necessarily. It's, standing up for your kids. You'd do anything for your kids, and so I did.
I really do think it's something that's very courageous because I know how many women I speak with, regardless of how old they are at the time of having a baby, if they are in an abusive relationship, the fear of leaving, and for so many, that person, that abusive person, has them feeling trapped. Like they can't, like makes them believe that they cannot make it on their own.
Yeah, well, and that's part of that verbal and emotional part. I remember him telling me, especially after I had her, that, nobody's ever going to want you, especially now that you have a kid and things like that. And you believe it, and it's horrifying once you get out of it and realize how just manipulative it is and how untrue it is. But when you're in it, it's everything.
And yet you were able to push past those lies, believe in yourself enough to make this hard decision. I mean, I know from the outside looking in, especially for women who have never maybe gone through abuse or walked with somebody they love through abuse, it's very easy for them to say, well, just leave. Like, this is easy, right? Just leave, obviously. Just end it. But for anybody who's been in it or, again, walked with somebody through this, it's a little more complicated than that. Okay, so you would be about 18, right? With your new baby girl in beauty school, putting yourself through school.
Putting myself through school, I ended up graduating. I only took 7 weeks off. I actually begged them to let me go back a week early. I'm not good at being a stay-at-home mom. I've learned twice now. And but mostly I needed grown-ups to talk to. Being the youngest of all of my friends, I didn't have other friends that had children. I didn't have that camaraderie of having other parents around me. So beauty school really became that for me because there were people of all walks of life in beauty school. One of my best friends was the same age as my mom. So to have other women that were just supportive and there for me was, that was probably one of my first experiences of having just that wonderful support of people of all ages around you, just trying to help you and lift you up.
This is a little bit of a foreshadowing too, because I know your story includes both experiences of groups of women. You've experienced the mean girl group of women, and you've experienced the loving and supportive group of women.
And I mean, even at beauty school, there's definitely both. There was definitely the mean girl part of it, but looking back at least the beauty school part of it, I can remember the wonderful people that I had there
And how
with
long were
me.
you in beauty school?
Total about 2 years. I graduated when Claire was about a year and a half old, and then went on and worked in one of the top salons in Medford, which was wonderful and hard, and didn't really get close to anybody there, and kind of had some of that mean girl. That experience actually wasn't necessarily mean girls. It just wasn't, nobody was friends. Nobody was nice to each other. We showed up to work and that was about it. And there was some backbiting and cattiness, but there was no connection. I don't talk to any of those ladies anymore and really didn't once I quit. And that's not who I am. I like to get to know people. I like to keep in contact with people, and I'm not good at keeping in contact with people, but I like to know what they're going through. I like it when they keep in contact with me.
That's very
But
fair.
yeah, but just between that and then working somewhere else in the beauty industry, just I had just several experiences where it just, I didn't think I belonged. There wasn't that girl group that I had like in beauty school that was friends and helping out. And it just, it was, yeah, really lackluster. Not what I wanted. So I decided when my daughter was 4, I stopped being in the beauty industry and I put myself through college and ended up with my bachelor's degree. But right before I went to college, I reconnected with my brother's best friend from college, David, who is now my husband. And we started dating. It was a little strange at first because we knew each other for 4 years or plus at that point. And my daughter called him Uncle David because he was just always around. He was there for my first Mother's Day as my brother's best friend. But we started dating, and I actually ended up going up to college at Lane Community College, where he was finishing law school and his master's program, so that we could continue to date. and start to build our life together. So we had dated and lived together for 2 years before we got married. We actually were in the process of moving to DC. My husband had graduated from law school and got his first job in Washington, DC. And so we were preparing to move. And actually, while we were there looking for apartments and appropriate schools for her, we ended up getting engaged. And we got engaged all hypothetically first. Hypothetically, if we were going to get married, would we want to do it on the East Coast or would we want to do it in Oregon? Well, in Oregon. So we had almost the entire wedding planned out hypothetically, and then ended up finding an apartment on the second day that we were there. And he wanted to go ring shopping. So we did and ended up getting engaged there and came home back to Oregon and planned and executed our wedding in 9 weeks while I was finishing finals. And
Oh my gosh, 9 weeks. I didn't know that part of the story.
No, thank goodness we had some friends that were getting married 2 weeks after us, and they had already done most of the research. So they said, go to Lamb's Bakery in Wilsonville for your wedding cake. And we just said, okay, that sounds great. Yeah, so while we were moving out of student housing and preparing to move across the country and, like I said, finals and all that fun stuff, we also got married with, 150 of our greatest friends at Oswego Lake Country Club. It was great.
Just throw a wedding in there with everything else that's going on.
Why not? We
Yeah.
don't we like to say we don't create chaos. It just kind of happens around us, and but that time we probably created some of the chaos.
It was a good chaos.
It was a very good chaos,
Yeah.
and obviously 25 years later, it's paid off. So
Yes.
that's good.
So after your wedding, you then move all the way to the other side of the country.
Yes, yeah. So we moved to the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and I ended up actually taking a year off of school to get residency. I thought I was going to be going to the University of Maryland, but when we were in Oregon, I ended up getting my Associate of Arts Oregon transfer degree. And Eastern Oregon University here in Oregon offered me a better deal than any other college that I had applied at. But it was obviously we were across the country. They had a pretty prolific distance education program, which was very, very different at the time, 25 years ago, than it is now.
Right. This is not like typical online learning like it is today.
There was no Zoom, there was no Blackboard, any of those things. So my micro and macroeconomics classes both were six VHS tapes that were sent to me in the mail. And then I had to go to the library and have the librarian watch me while I took my
Wow.
exams.
I just giggle because I think, oh, at some point somebody's going to be listening to this podcast and will have absolutely no idea what a VHS tape is.
Right? Before DVDs even.
Oh, ancient history. And it really wasn't that long ago.
No, so that was fun. So we were back there for 2 years. I had a great time there. It was a hard time. We were there through some pretty crazy things like 9/11, but ultimately we had the only grandchild, and my mom and David's parents were all in Oregon, and it was just really hard to, we would spend our one vacation a year in Oregon with our parents, and then my mom and his parents would spend one at our house, and that was just really, really, really hard on kids to not see
Yeah.
their grandparents that much.
Right.
Our kid, we only had one at the time. But we were also actually trying to get pregnant and not doing it very well. And so we decided to move back to Oregon and accidentally ended up on the Oregon coast. 9 months later, almost to the day, our son Dylan was born. Dylan actually means from the sea. And we call him our little gift from the sea because we got pregnant upon moving there and after trying for over a year. And so, yeah, he's our little gift from the sea. So
And then how old would Claire have been when Dylan came along?
she turned 9 4 weeks after he was born. Yeah, so they were 9 years apart. So it was kind of like having two only children. They were very different, into very different things all the time, and they're friends now, but it was rough going for a while.
Yeah.
Not quite the, I, we were hoping for about 5 years in between, which is what my brother and I are, which obviously worked out for me very well. But yeah, Dylan took his own sweet time, and
Came when he was supposed to.
he did. And yeah, so that's kind of awesome. So through that time, I continued to do distance education. At one point, actually, when we moved back to Oregon, I was going up to Portland every other weekend so that I can be in person in classes. Because one thing I learned from those VHS tapes is I really do better face to face with professors, and I'm that student that sits in the front and I ask questions and I do my homework, and I like to I need that interaction. I did not do as well distance education as I did in person, so I was able to do that. And then graduated when Dylan was 2 and Claire was 11. And in that time, tried to be a stay-at-home mom for a little while. And like I said, I'm not good at it. I had friends this time, which was great. We had a little group of women that all of our kids were right around that same age, and I'm still friends with them, and just a wonderful way of getting to know other women when you're all going through all of those same sleepless nights and chapped nipples and all those fun things that happen when you have babies that happen. So yeah, that's when I met my girlfriend Chase, and she's still one of my dearest friends. So I can thank Dylan for that one, being that little at that time. So after I graduated and tried to become a stay-at-home mom, and I realized now I had a pretty low self-worth at the time. Even though I had gone through and gotten my bachelor's degree, I didn't necessarily feel like I was had any skills and worthy of getting a job, and started volunteering first in Dylan's classrooms and through all sorts of things. I did just about every single volunteer job in the world that you can think of during that time. I was on the school board for 8 years in Bandon, had some really wonderful role models at that point. Our school district at the time had a female superintendent, and our three principals, because it was a very small school district, were all females and just strong, amazing females that were wonderful inspiration. I ran a reading program that was similar to SMART. I ran a local Miss America qualifier called the Miss Bandon Cranberry Festival, and that was kind of where I started realizing that I had power to help empower these other young ladies. We were a scholarship program, and in my 5 years that I directed that pageant, I grew the scholarship money from a yearly $500 scholarship to my last year before I left, I gave about $10,000 away in scholarships, and I love that part of it, and just the confidence that the young ladies would gain. I had one young lady who ended up receiving the Ford Family Foundation scholarship after that, and called me before she called her mom, don't tell her mom, and said, you know, I nailed my panel interview because I had had so much practice. And she did. She ended up getting a full ride scholarship with the Ford Family Foundation, which was pretty amazing. So I felt like I was doing some good things there,
Oh,
which
yeah.
was nice. But
Absolutely.
still personally struggled with feeling like I could work for money. So I was very, very fortunate when Dylan went to kindergarten. I was really good friends with a doctor in town, and she bought a laser. And at the time, regular estheticians could run lasers. We can't now. You have to be an advanced esthetician. But at the time, I did. And so I went to work for her for a couple of years, which was amazing. And I fell in love with learning again and getting to go to all these amazing classes and learning all these great things, except that I ran into the mean girls part, and probably worse than I had ever experienced it before. It was a, you know, we were a really small office, and it was not a good experience, and really turned me off again to being in the beauty industry. And so I moved on for a while. I was fortunate enough to get a job with a agency called AHEC, Area Health Education Centers of Southwest Oregon, where I ran volunteer and internship programs for college, high school and college students that were interested in going into the medical field. And so that was another incredible opportunity where I got to do some really fun things, and we got to come up and tour OHSU. And
You have this pattern of instilling confidence in others, building others up, empowering others. And it's interesting because I think you haven't quite hit that point in your story where you believed all that about yourself.
yeah, no, I And I mean, just like everybody else, right? There's still always some imposter syndrome and some just questioning, like, am I doing the right thing? And is this really who I am and who I want to be? And but yeah, it took me a while to figure out that I could do what I was trying to help other people to do.
And you do. We will get there. It's coming.
I figure it out. So I, during that time where I was helping with the high school and college kids with AHEC, my around 15 years of marriage, my husband and I hit a rocky part and separated for a little while, but ultimately decided that being together was really what we wanted to do. We were lucky enough to find a marriage ministry called Retrovi that taught us a completely different way of talking to each other. And we kind of have said that we were talking on parallel lines and never the two were going to intersect. And now we actually speak the same language, and it completely changed our way of communicating. And obviously now 10 years later, that worked.
Right. And so nice to have like a program or a formula. I mean, I think we hear that all the time that we communication is key, and couples struggle to communicate because let's be honest, it's kind of like we're speaking another language half the time and we have personality differences and, you know, gender differences. And you're just like, okay, are we even,
Are we even speaking the same
are we even
language?
speaking the same language? And so many of the great books and resources I've heard over the years and people have, you know, shared, go back to that, you know, trying to figure out a way to speak the same language, even though you might both technically be speaking English.
But they're not, well, that's one of my favorite examples of getting on the same page is we at one point discussed something that we both found challenging. And challenging for me was, you know, we're on a long hike and we're at the base of a mountain, and I'm looking up at the mountain and thinking, oh my gosh, I can never get up there. That is so challenging. I'm never gonna make it. And my husband's version of challenging is we're three quarters of the way up that mountain and we are almost there. It is just a little more challenge and then we'll get there. And I remember that being really eye-opening that yeah, we could both use the same word of, you know, marriage at 15 years for us was very challenging, and we would have been saying completely opposite, or not
Yeah.
opposite, but completely different things about it to each
Right.
other.
Right. A single word can have different meanings
Yeah.
to two
And
different people.
I don't think I knew that before. I knew it. I was raised by a therapist, but I didn't know that.
And we'll put the link to this in the episode notes in case there's anyone out there maybe in a similar spot on the brink of divorce or maybe just in, you know, having some tough communication issues. And they might want to check out. Would you say it again?
Yeah.
Because
It's
is it
a
a French word? Yeah.
French word, means rediscovery. It's Retrovi. And the easiest way, honestly, their website is helpourmarriage.org. And it's unlike anything else that I, you know, it's not counseling. You're not sharing. It is group-based, but you're not sharing with a group. You're listening to stories and then you're going and talking privately with your spouse. And like Jessica, you and I talked about having very private spouses and something like that. Where maybe we had to talk out loud to people would never have, I would have never gotten my husband there or kept him there. And instead it was this wonderful group, but very private. You never have to share your story. You never have to say why you're there or anything like that. And that was powerful for us.
And how long did it take before things really start? I know it's not one of those, okay, all of a sudden overnight everything's fixed, but about how long did it take before you felt like, okay, we're back on track, like we're back to a solid marriage?
That happened pretty quick. I mean, I remember driving home from that first weekend and thinking that we were actually going to make it to our 15-year anniversary, which I didn't think we were going to before that. But it's still, you know, I mean, just with anything, healing takes time. And there was a lot of healing to have happened from our 15 years together that needed to happen. And it was probably 2 months after that, my husband and I were camping up in the San Juan Islands, and all of a sudden he stopped and he said, "I have to quit my job." And I said, "What?" Because it had been his dream job, kind of. It was the culmination of all of his different careers that he had done, and he said, "I can't have that job and put the time into our marriage that I need to put in, because at the time he was working probably 50 to 60 hours a week. He was traveling 2 out of every 4 weeks minimum. It was definitely really, really rough on our marriage. And so that's how we made the decision to move to McMinnville. And we kind of were looking for a place that we had never been. Neither one of us had ever been here, and stayed the night here. And I remember sitting in front of McMinniman's with my cup of coffee and biscuit, and I was on the phone with my mom, and I said, I think we might move here. There's something really special here. And 6 months later, around Christmas, we were here.
Yes, and I mean, props to David for putting the marriage before his career. That's
Yeah,
hard.
it is hard. And for so many years, I hadn't done that. That was one of the places that I was at when we were separated, as I realized I had been self-employed or underemployed for my entire adult life at that point. And so I had no retirement, no savings, no health insurance, and none of those things that create security. And so that was part of that too, is us coming together and realizing that we could do that together. But then also, it was very important for me when we moved here that I created those things for myself, job security and putting money in retirement every month, and those kinds of things just became very important in my life.
Well, and the move to McMinnville really started a whole new chapter for you.
It really did. It really did. It kind of started right before we moved here. I had a girlfriend, Courtney and Sylvie, down in Bandon, and they needed somebody to help out at the salon they were working at, and that Courtney owned, and Sylvie worked there. And so I came in and helped until they were able to find a stylist full time, and it was amazing. It was exactly opposite of all the other experiences I had had. They were supportive. They were wonderful to each other. It was just this camaraderie and this friendship, and everybody helped each other out. If one of us was running late with a client, the other one would step in and do whatever they could. And if I was having a particularly hard day with my husband, somebody would come in the back and give me a hug. And it was a really, really special place that I didn't know could exist in work in general, but then also in a predominantly female job setting.
Third time's the charm for your beauty industry career, right?
It really is. And so yeah, so when we moved to McMinnville, I was lucky to find a similar feeling of camaraderie with women at Twist down on Third Street. I worked there for about 3 years, and the group that we had there at the time was just wonderful. In fact, that just this last weekend, there were three or four of us in the same place, and it was like old home. It was really neat. Some of my still really good friends came out of that, and it just had great environment, great girl energy, where we supported each other and we liked each other, and it was a really great experience. But ultimately, it was not conducive to spa facials and quiet, wonderful things. Was hard in a hip happening salon. It's hard to relax somebody and then like shoot them back out into this, loud, wonderful,
Busy,
chaotic.
yeah.
So I rented a spot just down Third Street for a couple years and opened my own studio. But that's kind of where I really struggled with work-life balance. Before we'd go out on vacation, I'd work 5 12-hour days just to take 5 days off and then come back and work those again. I wasn't spending time with my family, with my kids, or anything like that. And I worked a lot, and I didn't have a good balance. And that was one of the really positive things for me personally that came out of the shutdowns that we had during COVID, is I was able to put some of those boundaries in place and say, I'm not doing neurosurgery. If somebody has to wait an extra day for their lashes or their facial, it's okay. And that kind of gave me permission to put some boundaries around some of my personal life. My grandson had also been born right before the shutdown. He was 6 months old when that happened. And so it was good timing that I just wanted to spend every single possible minute with him that I could. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things about myself and about just how important it is to take time and stop and appreciate what's around you. And it's not easy. And with people in my industry, and I imagine it's this way in most service industries, we get into these industries because we want to help people, and we're usually people pleasers, and we're not good at saying no. And I am still now, even to this day, much better at saying no for other people than me, which is one of the nice things about being an employer. I'm really good about guarding the people who work for me, and you know, when they need to take vacations, it's important to take vacations and things like that that I just didn't do for a long time.
I imagine your whole team loves working for you.
I
And
would
I know
hope
we'll
so.
get to have you share about Glow Spa and the Glow Squad. How did you even get that started?
Oh, that's an excellent question. It was coming out of the shutdown, and I had one other woman, Jessica, working with me, who still works with me and one of my dearest friends. And I kind of started thinking I wanted to go bigger. I wanted to help other people. I wanted some of those insecurities that I felt when my husband and I were on the verge of divorce was I wanted to be able to help other people with things like job security and having paid time off and retirement savings and time for education and sharing, and just create that environment that I was lucky enough to have both at Vicky G's in Bandon and at Twist, where just we all wanted to come together. And so I really started doing a lot of work on what my why was. And what kind of kept coming through is that I like to lift up and empower women, and I wanted to create a community and with a safe, non-judgmental, non-competitive space. Hairstylists and estheticians and nail techs, it's a very competitive business, and that's part of what leads to, I think, some of that mean girl backtalk stuff. And it just doesn't need to be that way. We can all lift each other up. One of the quotes that I love is, "When the tide rises, all boats rise." And I think we can do that in lots of ways, and in our own private communities, within our workspaces and friends, and but also in our community in general. And that's been another part of what I've tried to do at Glow is really reach out to the community and help the community as much as I can.
Well, and that's how we met through greeters in the Chamber of Commerce. And
Thank goodness for them.
yes, all kinds of wonderful stories are coming from greeters. Thank
Right? So yeah, so that's where I am now. I have a team of talented, I can't say just women anymore. I have two men on my team, but I can support and encourage them to become what they're meant to be while helping them to have safety and security. I offer retirement savings, PTO, a W-2, which is another thing being self-employed you don't really have. As I said earlier, I try to encourage them to create strong boundaries, have good work-life balance, and learn that from an early age. I was well into my 40s before I realized what that meant, and I think I missed a fair amount of my kids' lives by being worried about where the next appointment was and where the next dollar was and how I could do that. And so trying to help these people around me to realize that their friends and family around them are what's the most important thing. So as a team, as you mentioned earlier, we call ourselves the Glow Squad, and we strive to give guests the best experience. Customer service is really important to everybody on the team, but we also give everybody an opportunity to learn what's right for them, whether it's a service, a product, or sometimes a well-needed break. We sometimes do silent appointments for people who just need that quiet. We also have no problem talking to people when they need talking, and to be able to tell their stories, and we can keep it in our hearts and help them through times, which is one of the coolest things that we get to do is be there for our clients. We call ourselves, we're a little sparkly slice of heaven, because it is a little sparkly. The name used to be Glitter and Glow, and we've shortened to just Glow, but we like everything bright and sparkly there, definitely. And we like to share that with our guests. We offer just about everything that you could ever want or need at any time, except for hair. We don't do any hairstyling, but we've got massage and facials and all sorts of skin treatments, laser hair removal and IPL. We do nails and pedicures and spray tans and teeth whitening and fitness classes. We have an infrared sauna. We do lash extensions, brow laminations. I'm sure there's more that it's a lot. We pretty much try to do everything.
Right? Just think of like an all-day spa package at Glow.
Exactly. I have a couple clients that have said, if you just added hair, I'd never have to go anywhere else. So I said, I'm not ever going to do that. I will just put that out there. But you can come to us for absolutely everything else. And
Yeah.
I know some great hairstylists that I can send you to. So
Right? If they need hair, it's to get that lasered off with you.
exactly. We're
Yeah.
great at hair removal.
Robin, it's pretty incredible to hear where you started and maybe some of the insecurities you even had to see where you are now and what you've accomplished and the confidence you have in how you're sharing that with other people and making a difference in the community and building women up. You have throughout your story mentioned several important, I think, just nuggets of wisdom, but in closing, is there any specific encouragement you'd like to give ladies who are listening?
Yeah, as maybe I said in my story, find people who support you and help lift you up. I always strive to be around people who make me a better person and are fierce supporters in all you can do. Real girls, girls, people who are just gonna pump you up and be willing to tell you when you're messing up, but also be just fiercely supportive of everything you do. It's so important to have those people in your life.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to go back through your story and tell it again and share it with women to offer some hope, some inspiration, some encouragement. We love that. That's why we're here. And
Thank you for being here to do that. It's a pretty amazing thing that you do.
it's fun. I always feel very honored that I get to hear people's stories. I mean, so often we only meet somebody on a surface level. And I love getting to know all the deeper levels and just being authentic and real. And it's a blessing. So I appreciate getting to do this. I appreciate you and all the women who are willing to come and sit and talk with me and let me share this out to our community and the world. We do right now just talk with all of our local ladies, and yet this podcast has gone into all these other countries. So, if you're listening from somewhere far away from McMinnville, Oregon, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you're finding some encouragement also. We also want to take a moment to thank our state representative, Lucetta Elmer, who is the one providing this platform for Story Night so we can continue to bring you the live events and this podcast. I already talked about our next live event coming up, but I do want to mention, ladies, that if you are listening to this episode after July 31st, 2025. Go on our website, storynighthope.com, and that's where you can find all the information for whatever live event is coming up next. And you can get free tickets for those because we would love to have you and get to meet you, and you can come meet Robin and the rest of the Story Night family. It would just be fabulous. So thank you again, Robin. Thank you, ladies, for tuning in. And we hope you were blessed. We hope you were encouraged and that you come back next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story. Your story matters, and you are not alone.